Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Sukkah Nun Dalet. We are holding four lines from the top of the Amud. Now, let's go back to our Mishnah for a moment, where we learned about the Tkiyos. They used to blow with a trumpet in the Beis HaMikdash in sets of three. Tkiyah, Teruah, Tkiyah. Once again, Tkiyah, Teruah, Tkiyah, and so on. Primarily, they would blow during Nisuch HaYayin on the Mizbeach, when they poured the wine that occurred during various Karbanis, Tamid Shal Shachar, or Tamid Sher Ben Arbaim, or Musafin, during which they would sing Shira. And during the Shira of the Levim, they would take three breaks. And during those three intermissions, they would blow the Chatzotrois, and they would blow them in sets of three. Tkiyah, Teruah, Tkiyah, Tkiyah, Teruah, Tkiyah, and once again, Tkiyah, Teruah, Tkiyah, for a total of nine blows. Now, those Tkiyahs were mandated min HaTorah. We have a Pasuk, Sekatem Chatzotrois, Al Oilei Seichem, etc. There were other occasions, however, where the Chacham instituted the Tkiyah of the Chatzotrois, and the Mishnah gave us a full list of various scenarios and numbers. Typically, the Mishnah said, on a standard day, it was 21 Tkiyahs. So it was no less than 21, in the following order. Three blows for Psichas She'arim. They would open up the gates of the Azar. This was to signal to the Kohanim, Levim, Israel, to come stand by their posts, to be available for the Avodah. So three for Psichas She'arim. During Tamid Shal Shachar, so during that Shira, they would take three intermissions, and they would blow the Chatzotrois. Each break required three blows, so it was 3-3-3 for a total of 9 for Tamid Shal Shachar. That gets you to 12. Once again, they would do that during Tamid Shal Ben Arbaim, another 9, so it's 12 plus 9, 21. So that was on a typical day. On Erev Shabbos, they would add another 6 blows, 3 Lahavatil Asa'amat Mimelacha, so that all would stop doing work and head home. Another 3 blows, Lahavdil, to show that it's Shabbos going forward. That's another 6 for Erev Shabbos. On a day that there was a Karb Musaf, you'd get another 9. On Sukkos, you would have another 12. How do you get 12? So it was related to the Simchas Beis HaSheva, which was to celebrate the Sheiva Samayim, Nisuch Hamayim. And as we learned earlier in the Mishnayos, they would dance all night. Come morning, time for drawing that water, two Kohanim would position himself by the Shaar Elyon, the gateway leading from the Ezras Yisrael down to Ezras Noshim, and they would blow Tkiyah, Teruah, Tkiyah. Then they would blow when they got to the 10th step, once again a set of 3. When they got to the gate leading out of the Ezras Noshim, another 3. When they came back with the water, when they got to Sha'ar HaMayim, on the way back in to Beis HaMikdash, another 3. We had a Mishnah a couple of days ago, which described another 3 blows when they were at the Mizbeach, either when they brought back the water, or when they were positioning the Aravos around the Mizbeach. So really, it's a total of 15, not 12. But if we pay close attention to our Mishnah, we don't have any mention of the 3 blows on the 10th step. Mishnah speaks about 3 on the Shara Elyon, 3 Shara Tachtoin, 3 Lemilui Hamayim, and 3 Al Gabay Mizbeach, with a total of 12. That's going to be the focus of the upcoming piece in the Gemara. Starts the Gemara 4 lines from the top, Erev Shabbos, Shebusech HaChag, and the Mishnah only mentions the Tkiyos on the top, Tkiyos on the bottom, when they came back, on the Mizbeach, Ve'ilu Lamala Asiris Leiktani. Don't have any mentioning of any tkiyos which took place on the 10th step coming down from Ezra Shrot Ezra Snoshim. Mas Nisan Mani, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Apparently, our Mishnah is found Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, who holds there were no tkiyos on the 10th step. The Tanya, Shalosh Lamala Siris. Brisa says there were 3 blows when they got to the 10th step. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, no, Shalish al gabe mizbeach. The three tkiyos were by the mizbeach instead of the tenth step. Explains the Gemara. Ha'omer lamala asiris. The one who holds that there were tkiyos at the tenth step, eino omer al gabe mizbeach, doesn't hold of the tkiyos by the mizbeach. Va'omer al gabe mizbeach, and the shita that holds that there were blows by the mizbeach, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that is, eino omer lamala asiris, does not hold of the tkiyos on the tenth step. So all agree that on Sukkot you added an additional 12 tkiyos. And as we mentioned in the Mishnah, on Erev Shabbos, which is Sukkot, you actually came up with 48 in total. Just go through them again quickly. So we have your standard 21. That's typical for every day of the year. 3 when they open the gates of the Azorah. 9 for Tamashal Shachar. 9 for Tamashal Ben Arbaim. 21. On Erev Shabbos, which is Sukkot, you get up to 48. Because it's Sukkot, you have a Musaf, which gets you another 9 tkiyos. It's Erev Shabbos, you have those 6 tkiyos to a signal that Shabbos is coming. So now we're at 36 and 12 on account of Nisuch HaMayim, 48. So all agree, it was 48. All agree, 12 extra on account of Nisuch HaMayim. The question is, were those 3 within the 12, are 3 of those 12 on the 10th step, or instead by the Mizbeach? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer, it was by the Mizbeach, not on the 10th step. My time with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, what's his reason? Kiven the tackle of Psicha Sharm, he says once you add a tkiya to be Pesach the Sharm, he's referring to the tkiyas that the Gehanim would do when they would stand up by the upper gate on the way down to Nisach HaMayim to draw the water. So that was the Shar related blow, opening of that Shar in honor of the Nisach HaMayim. Lamala, serious lamali the Toka. Why would you have to blow once you get to the 10th step? Hailav Sha'aru. It's not a gate. It has no significance. Hilkach Agabe HaMizbeach Adif. Therefore, he says, I prefer that the Tkiyas were when they came back to Mizbeach, went to one pshat in Rashi, when they brought back the Mayim. This was a culmination of the process, and it's fitting to have a Tkiya there to arouse Simcha and celebration. It's according to this Shita, instead of 3 Tkiyas on the 10th step, which is an undefined place, instead it was done when they came back to the Mizbeach. V'rabbanu Savri, Rabbanu hold, no, kiven the Taka l'milu ha-mayim, since the Tkiya, the Tkiyas, all 12, were on occasion of drawing water, so let's do it on the way out, on the way back. Al gabe mizbeach lamid. When you come back to the mizbeach, what's the point of blowing then? It's not nikar that it's for the sake of Nisach HaMayim, of Shiva HaMayim. And since the whole point of blowing is for mili, for drawing and filling the water, better do it on the way out. Hilkach lamala asiris adif. Better do it on the way out to mili HaMayim on the 10th step. So bottom line is, all agree that on Sukkot you had an extra 12 tkiyos. The question is whether 3 of those 12 were on the 10th step on the way out, l'milui ha-mayim, in anticipation of drawing that water, or instead of on the 10th step, it was done when they came back to Mizbeach. But either way, it's a total of 12 extra on account of Sukkot, and that gets us to 48, the most you'll get throughout the year. So we mentioned that on Shabbos, since there was a Musaf, or on Sukkot, since there was a Musaf, you had an additional 9 tkiyos. How do you get to 9? Because during the Shira of that Karban, they would take 3 breaks, and the Levian would blow those horns, blow those trumpets, in sets of 3, so 3 times 3 is 9. The question is, let's say a day has 2 Musafim, it's Shabbos and also Rosh Chodesh. Do you do only 1 Shira and 1 set of 9? Or do we accommodate every Musaf separately? A separate Shira, a separate Kiya. So it would be 9 plus 9, maybe another 9. Is it the day of Musaf that requires that additional 9? Or is it every specific Musaf which earns you that 9? Ki asa Rab Acha b'chanina m'dereima. Rav Acha arrived from Durham of Eretz Yisrael. He came along with a chiddush. He brought along a brisa as follows. The pasuk says, "Ubnei Aaron hakehanim yitku b'chatzaitzris." The Bnei Aaron will blow the trumpets. She'en tamad loymer yitku. Why mention yitku? It's obvious. She'kvar nemar utka uskata b'chatzaitzris al oyloy seichem al zivchei shalmeichem. Pasuk already says you're meant to go ahead and blow trumpets when you bring karbanis. Uma tamad loyma yitku. Why does Pasuk have to repeat? Ubnei Aaron hakanim yitku. Could it just says Ubnei Aaron b'chatzoitzris? The word yitku was extra. Uma tamad loyma yitku. It's coming to teach us hakoil lafi hamusaf and toiken. It's coming to explain to you that every musaf deserves and earns its own tkiya ceremony. So this was the brisa. Who Tanila Rav Acha presented this brisa? Who Amarla? And he explained it as follows. You know what the brisa means? Loimar. It's coming to tell you. She toiken al kol musaf a musaf. Every musaf gets its own 9 tkiyas. That was Rav Acha's chiddush. A new shira per musaf, a new tkiya per musaf. Okay, let's see if it works. So now let's take a look at our Mishnah, which says erev Shabbos shebeseich achak, erev Shabbos which happens to be Sukkos. How many tkiyas do you have? That's the most you'll get. Hayusha memches. You get to the top of the list, 48 tkiyas. How do you get to 48? As we explained, 21 is standard. We have a musaf, because it's Sukkos, gets you to 30. Erev Shabbos, another 6. 12 on account of Milui Hamayim, 48. V'imisa, now if Rav Acha is correct, that every musaf deserves its own 9, listen, Shabbos Shabbosich Achak. Mishnah is looking for the most tkiyas. I'll give you an idea. Shabbos and Sukkos together. Not Erev Shabbos. Shabbos itself. Mishkachas lo chamshin v'chad. You'll end up with, you know how many? Instead of 48, you'll top that. 51. How's it 51? Because you have your standard 21. It's Shabbos, that's a Musaf, takes you up to 30. It's Sukkos, it's another Musaf, so that's 39. And because of Milui Hamayim, it's another 12. 39 plus 12 is 51. So if Rav Acha is right, that every Musaf deserves its own 9 tkiyas, this could have been a better example. Shabbos, which is Sukkos, 51. Why stop at 48? Amar Rav Zera, you know why the Mishnah didn't mention that? Because you won't have 51, you only have 48, even if it's Shabbos and Sukkos. V'shein toiken l'fsicha sh'orim b'Shabbos. You have to deduct 3. They wouldn't blow the trumpets on account of opening the gates of the Azar. It doesn't justify Chilul Shabbos. Why? It says Rashi. So where the lines widen, it's about 6-7 lines above that. She'en token lefsicha she'orim b'Shabbos. She'en ole mitzvah, says Rashi. Ketkiyah shel karbon, lechsivi b'kro. You see, the tkiyah is conducted during hakrobas hakarbon. That's required by the... It's in the pasuk, it's in the Torah, as we just explained. Just had a pasuk. But to indicate the opening of the she'orim in the Beis HaMikdash isn't really a mitzvah, isn't really a requirement. As opposed to the karm, which exhibit bekrok, skata machatsoitris, alole sechem, aval hanach, but these blows, when they open the sh'arm, l'simonin ninu, which is meant as a simon, to sound an alarm. She'ishmu v'yavoyu l'ma'amodam u'dechonam. So all the kaihanim, levim, israel, should come running to take their posts in the Beis HaMikdash. V'loy dachu Shabbos. And doesn't justify chilul Shabbos. You're not meant to blow a trumpet on Shabbos. And if it's not for the sake of a real mitzvah, we don't allow it. Hilkach hader havilu memches. So back to 48. You thought we had 51. But if you have to deduct these 3 tkiyas for psicha sharm, which didn't take place on Shabbos, 51 minus 3 is 48. So what was your kasha? Why didn't the Mishnah mention this as an example of a day which has more than 48? The answer is it doesn't have more than 48. Continues the Gemara. How can you say that? There were no tkiyas of psicha sharm on Shabbos. Amar Rava, man hada lo yichash le kimcha. Who's this person who's not paying attention to what he's grinding? Flour, bran. What's he saying? They didn't have these tkiyas on Shabbos? Firstly, chada, the b'chol yom tnan. Take a look at the Lashon HaMishnah. Every day they had shalish l'psicha sharm, including Shabbos. Apparently it was important enough to be deicha Shabbos. Number one. Number two, v'oid, another kash. Inam ke'adad ininu. Let's say you're right. It was only 48. So it's the same number as the example cited in the Mishnah. Mishnah spoke about Erev Shabbos, which is Sukkot, 48. And Shabbos on Sukkot itself is also 48. Let's say, for argument's sake, you're right. Still, the Mishnah should have preferred mentioning Shabbos on Sukkot itself as your example of a day which has 48 keys. You know why? Listen to Shabbos, Shabbos Chag. The Mishnah should have cited Shabbos Sukkot as an example. Well, you have 48 keys. Why? Because then you would at least learn something. The Shabbos Minotat, you can learn two halachas from there. Shabbos Minot, Reb Lezer ben Yaakov. Number one, you would learn about Reb Lezer ben Yaakov that, as we said, that the three tkiyas were by the Mizbeach instead of the 10th step. And that's why the Mishnah didn't mention anything about the 10th step. We're following Reb Lezer ben Yaakov. That's number one. Ushamas Mnodar Reb Acha bar Chanina. You know what else you would learn from this? That Reb Acha bar Chanina is right. That every Musaf gets its own tkiyas. So if the Mishnah would have mentioned Shabbos Sukkot as an example of a day which has 48, you would have learned many things. You would have also learned that Rav Acha bar Chanina is right, that every Musaf gets a separate tkiyah, and that's how you get to 48. Right? Let's just run it by again. We have the standard 21. We have a Musaf of Shabbos, takes you to 30. Musaf of Sukkot, which takes you to 39. Right? So it's a writer of Acha, that every Musaf deserves its own tkiyas. Then you have another 12 for Mayim, which is 48, which is 51. And if you have to deduct the three of Psicha Sharm, which don't happen on Shabbos, you're still back to 48. But at least you would learn something. You would learn some interesting halachis. For instance, that every Musaf deserves its own Shira and its own tkiyah. It's not one size fits all. Every Musaf gets its own unique tkiyah and Shira. So if Rav Acha bar Yaakov is right, the Mishnah should have mentioned that as an example to prove his point, to teach us that very important halacha. Why did the Mishnah instead mention Erev Shabbos, which is Sukkot, where there's really only one Musaf, and you don't really learn much from there? The Mishnah should have instead mentioned Shabbos and Sukkot. Gets you 48, which will indicate to you that every Musaf gets its own 9 tkiyas, like Rav Acha bar Chanina. So we're at the kasha now. Why? Indeed, why didn't the Mishnah prefer that as an example of 48? Elam Arava, you know why? Because you won't get to 48. You're forgetting one thing. Levishain toiken lemilu mai b'Shabbos. There are no tkiyas on account of filling the water on Shabbos because, guess what? They didn't fill the water on Shabbos at all. They prepared it before Shabbos. So we have no 12. So you don't get anywhere near 48. We're down to 36. No point in mentioning it. The battery too, but you're missing many tkiyas. Okay. That kasha has been addressed. Continues the Gemara. V'listening nami, v'sheshana shecholias b'Shabbos. If Rav Acha is right, that every Musaf deserves its own tkiyas, I have an idea. Misha should have presented the following scenario as an example of a day where you have 48. And we would learn from there that every Musaf gets its own tkiyah. Which day are we speaking about? Rosh Hashanah. Falls out on Shabbos. In which case you have how many Musafin? 3. Da'ikat losa Musafin. Why? Musaf to Rosh Hashanah. That's number one. Musaf to Rosh Chodesh. Remember, Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Chodesh are the same day. So you have Rosh Hashanah and Rosh Chodesh and Musaf to Shabbos. You have Musaf on account of Shabbos. So you have 3 Musafin. According to Rav Acha bar Chanina, each Musaf gets 9. So that's 9. 18, 27, added on to the standard 21, right? The daily tkiyas. What's your total? 48. Huh. So why did the Mishnah use that as an example? For a day where you have 48, which will teach us a great chiddush. Every Mosaf gets its own tkiyah. If Rav Acha bar Chanina indeed is right. Says the Gemara, Erev Shabbos Shabbosecha Chag Itzrich Leila Shminon. There is a reason why the Mishnah did prefer mentioning Erev Shabbos Sukkos as an example of your 48, as opposed to Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Chodesh. You know why? Because Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. The Mishnah wanted to point out Rav Elazar ben Yaakov's Shita that there were no tkiyas on the 10th step, as we mentioned earlier. And that point was brought out by the fact that the Mishnah mentioned Erev Shabbos Sukkos. So the fact that we mentioned Sukkos as an example brings out the point that there was no tkiyas on the 10th step, as we mentioned the Mishnah and the Gemara. That's all. Otherwise, the Mishnah would have perhaps laid forth your suggestion, your scenario of Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Chodesh, and Shabbos to bring out the 48. But the Mishnah preferred discussing Sukkos, or Masechah Sukkah, to bring out the sequence, to point out the sequence of tkiyas during Mili Hamayim. Says the Gemara, Atu mi karmina. Did I mean to say Lisni Hav le Lisni Ha? That the Mishnah should have mentioned Rosh Hashanah as an example of 48 and not Sukkos? I didn't mean that. Lisni Ha? Lisni Ha? The Mishnah could have mentioned both cases as examples for days where you have 48 tkiyas. And we would learn many halachas from these examples. From Erev Shabbos Sukkos, we would learn like Elazar ben Yaakov about the 10th step. From Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos, we learn about Rav Acha bar Chanina's chiddush, that every Mosaf gets its own tkiyas. So why indeed did the Mishnah not mention the example of Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Chodesh, and Shabbos for a total of 48? Says the Gemara, Tana Bashir, you're right. Technically, it's 48. Because every Mosaf gets a tkiyah. Tana Bashir. Mishnah mentioned some examples, left out others. So it's just a partial list. My Shir, the High Shir. Could you give me another admission? Another thing that the Mishnah left out of its list, which would indicate the High Shir, that indeed it left this out as well, that it's just a partial list and not indicative of any halacha. Yeah, I'll give you another example. Shir Erev HaPesach. What about Erev Pesach? We also have 48 kiyas. We should have mentioned that. Because the Mishnah is not going through the whole gamut of possibilities. We have one example of 48 and that's it. Now how do you get 48 in Erev Pesach? So in Erev Pesach, they would do the Shechitas HaPesach using three groups of Yisraelim. They would split into three groups and do the Shechita one after the other after the other. During Shechitas HaPesach, there would be Kriyas HaHalal. During Kriyas HaHalal, as soon as they began, they would blow Tkiyah through Tkiyah. So every group, as they were doing the Shechitas HaPesach, would recite Halal and have Tkiyas at the initiation of that Halal. Now generally speaking, the groups were so large that it would take them three times through Halal, which means nine blows, to get through the entire group. So if you have nine tkiyas per group, three groups, nine times three is 27 tkiyas, plus your standard 21, which came every day in the Beis HaMikdash. So you have how many? 21 plus 27 is 48. The Mishnah didn't mention that as an example of 48 because the Mishnah didn't go through the full comprehensive list of possibilities. It left out some. So perhaps it left out our case as well. Rosh Hashanah, which is Rosh Chodesh, which is Shabbos, where technically you can get to 48 as well because each Musaf deserves his own tekiah. He didn't mention it because it didn't go through every case. Said to Gemara, one second. Imishim Erev HaPesach. If you're using that as an example of an omission, Lav Shiru, perhaps it's not considered an omission because it never happened. The Hamani Rabbi Yehudi, perhaps our Mishnah is in line with Rabbi Yehuda, who didn't get the 27th kiyas by the Shechitas HaPesach, because he said, the Amar Mimim Shal Kashlishis, you know, the third group, the lazy ones, were a very small group. Mimim Shal Kashlishis, all throughout history, when we had that third group, Leigia Leimar, Ahavti Kishma Hashem, They never even got to a hafti, which is relatively towards the beginning of halal. They never even got halal through halal once. Because it was a small crowd. So as soon as they got anywhere, they finished the entire group, all the psach, and they were done. That third group certainly only blew three times. They didn't go through halal more than once. Even once, they didn't finish. So it was only three tkiyas. So once Rabbi Yehuda, how many extra tkiyas did you have in Erev Pesach because of the Shechitas of Pesach? Let's calculate. The first group was a full group. Let's assume they went through the halal three times. Each halal requires three tkiyas. So it's nine for the first group. Nine for the second group. But the third group was a small group. One, two, three. And they only had three tkiyas. So it was 9, 18, plus 3 is 21. So you don't have a full 27. If you just add 21 to your standard 21 tkiyas, which came daily, you only have 42. So that's why the Mishnah didn't use that as an example of 48. Perhaps that's why the Mishnah didn't mention it. So you can't bring a right that the Mishnah omitted something. Omitted another example of 48 from Erev Pesach. Perhaps the Mishnah holds there were no 48 in Erev Pesach. Says Zigmar, 1 second. V'amras reishad loik Rabbi Yehuda. Haven't we said yesterday that our Mishnah is not following Rabbi Yehuda? Rabbi Yehuda holds that Tarat, Tkiyah, Trua, Tkiyah is one mitzvah. Each set is a single mitzvah, is counted as one. And the Mishnah clearly disagreed. The Mishnah referred to every Tkiyah as a separate mitzvah. 21, 48, right? Every blow is separate. And we concluded yesterday, our Mishnah is not Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that each set was a separate mitzvah. Each unit was one mitzvah, right? So you can't say our Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. Well, 1 second. V'dilma, perhaps, Haitana Savar lo kavasei b'chada. Our Mishnah holds like Rabbi Yehuda on one account regarding that third group in our Pesach, so we don't have a total of 27. U'palagli b'chada. And disagreed with Rabbi Yehuda on another account. How do we calculate the tkiyas? That's a side point. True, Rabbi Yehuda holds three tkiyas. Each set was one. And our Tana holds it was considered three. Okay, that's a side point. When it comes to Erev Pesach, could be he agrees. It's unrelated. Could be he agrees that the third group was a very small group. It didn't get too far. And it wasn't really a total of 27 blows, only 21. In which case, you're back to square one. So Erev Pesach doesn't really provide an example of a day where you have 48. And then the Mishnah didn't leave anything out. The Mishnah didn't leave anything out. Why the Mishnah leave out Rosh Hashanah, which is Rosh Chodesh, Rosh Shabbos, where theoretically you can get to 48 because each Musaf needs 9. Right? Getting back to Al-Kasha. Why did the Mishnah leave that out? If that halacha is true, that each Musaf gets 9. Ella, rather, my shir, thy shir. I'll tell you what the Mishnah omitted from its list. Another example of 48 kiyas that was omitted. In which case, the high shear, it can indicate that the Mishnah is leaving out some examples. An omission isn't any indication of anything. Shear Erev Pesach, Shecholis Erev Shabbos. Here's an example of 48. Erev Pesach, on Erev Shabbos. Okay, for argument's sake, let's follow Rabbi Yehuda. The third group was small. So how many tkiyas were there during the Shechitas of Pesach? Only 21, as we mentioned. So instead of 27, we have to deduct 6. It's 21. But remember, it's Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, we have those 6. Those simanim. They would blow to sound that alarm. Stop doing work. Shabbos is coming. So apikshis, you have to deduct 6. Instead of a full 27 during the Shechitas of Pesach, according to Rabbi, there was only 21. 9 for the first group, 9 for the second, and only 3 for the third group, 21. So you deducted 6 from your 27. Vayel shis. Substitute it with another 6, which were unique for Erev Shabbos. The alarm, which would sound before Shabbos. So that makes up for the missing 6. You're back to 27. Add it to your standard 21, which came on a daily basis. 21 plus 27 is 48. Why didn't the Mishnah mention this as an example of a 48? Day. Elamai must be the Mishnah's omitting something. We have a partial list. Okay, so that explains why the Mishnah didn't mention your example of Rosh Hashanah, which is Rosh Chodesh, which is Shabbos, where technically, perhaps it's 48 as well, according to Rav Acha Bar Chanin, every Musaf gets 9, so it's your standard 21, plus the Musaf of Shabbos, 9, it's 30, plus the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, 39, plus the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, 48. We left it out because it's just a partial list. Continues the Gemara. Okay, so the maximum you have is 48 kiyos per day. That's the most. We have an example of a day where you have more than 48. Veloy, it never gets past 48. Listen to this. Va'ike erava pesach shecholies b'shabbos. Here's another example which you haven't yet mentioned. Erev Pesach, we shech the carbon Pesach, which is actually on Shabbos itself. You'll have more than 48. How? The il Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, which Rabbi Yehuda? At the third group or small, which gave you only a total of 27 tekiyos during Shechitas HaPesach, so you'll have Chamshin V'Chada. If you fall down on Shabbos, you have 51. According to Rabbanon, we had a full 27 during the Shechitas HaPesach, Chamshin V'Sheva. You actually get up to 57. That's way more than 48. How's that? Okay, let's start with basics. You have 21, which was a standard, typical. You have Shabbos, so that comes with a Musaf. Gives you another 9, so you're up to 30. Now you have Shechitas HaPesach. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's 21 for Shechitas HaPesach. So it's 30 plus 21 is 51. According to Rabbanon, Shechitas HaPesach involved 27 tekiyos. So it's 30 plus 27 is 57. It's way more than 48. What happened to that day? Erev Pesach on Shabbos. Answers the Gemara, Ki Ktani. The Mishnah only discusses Midi Di'isei B'chol Shana. An event which is a recurring event, an annual event. However, Erev Pesach Shcholis B'Shabbos, this type of day, Erev Pesach, which conjuncts with Shabbos, the Lesei B'chol Shana B'Shana, which isn't really an annually recurring event, it happens every couple of years. It's not a set standard annual event, like Tani, the Mishnah didn't bother mentioning it. But technically, you're right. If Erev Pesach should fall out on Shabbos, you actually have more than 48. So what did the Mishnah cite as an example of a 48 kiyah day, Erev Shabbos, which is Sukkot? Is that an annual occurrence? Sometimes you don't have that. For instance, let's say the first day of Sukkot falls out on Erev Shabbos. So the next Friday is going to be Shmini Atzeres. It's already past Sukkot. So on that year, you will have your example of Erev Pesach, Erev Shabbos, which is Sukkot. Why? Because if Sukkot itself, the first day of Sukkot itself, the Yom Tov falls on Erev Shabbos, you don't have all these extra tekiyos for Simchas Beis HaSheva, as we learned in the beginning of the parak. The instrument playing of Beis HaSheva wasn't Daich Yom Tov, so you have to leave out all those extra tekiyos, the 12 tekiyos, you won't have 48. So in that year, this type of day won't materialize. And the Mishnah still mentions it. Evidently, Mishnah does cite such examples. If so, why did the Mishnah cite our example of Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos? Says more, your example of a case where Yom Tov itself falls out on Erev Shabbos, it doesn't happen. Kimak le'ino Yom Tov Rishon Erev Shabbos, when they anticipate, when they see that Yom Tov Rishon is going to fall on Erev Shabbos, mitchi dechinalei bezin just manipulates it, they push it off, they rearrange the months, they add a day here, take off a day here, in order that it shouldn't work out this way. My time of why? What's wrong with Yom Tov Rishon of Sukkot falling out on Erev Shabbos? Kivan de'ikla Yom Tov Rishon shechag li'is b'Erev Shabbos. Because if that happens, that Sukkot starts on Erev Shabbos, Yom Kippurim emes havi. When is Yom Kippurim going to fall out? A couple of days earlier. B'chad b'shabbos on Sunday, that's not really ideal. Rashi brings a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. We're concerned about Messiah. If somebody's nifter later on Shabbos, he's going to have to wait 2 days for burial. We don't want Yom Kippur to fall on Erev Shabbos. So if they see it's going to happen, then they add a day to Elul, and they push the month 1 day ahead. Hilchach Dachinilei, that's why they push it off. So, indeed, it never happens. Yom Tov Rishon of Sukkot never falls on Erev Shabbos, in which case, we're always going to have a Chol Hamoed day on Erev Shabbos. That's why the Mishnah brings it as an example. Is that true that we push things off, we don't allow Yom Kippur to fall on a Sunday? Is that true? But it's not. Listen to this Mishnah. Chol Shabbos, Kraven Yom Kippur. The leftovers of the korbanos of Shabbos, the fats of the tamidim on Shabbos, which were left over beyond Shabbos, and now it's matzah Shabbos, which happens to be Yom Kippurim. Craving Yom Kippurim, you can bring it on Yom Kippur, because Shabbos stands higher than Yom Kippur, and Yom Kippurim somehow sort of conserves Shabbos. So you can bring the leftovers of Shabbos Yom Kippurim. That's the Mishnah. Va'amar Rabzera said, Ki avinon beirav bebavel. When we learned at the Bismedush of Rav in Bavel, before he came to Yisrael, Hava Amr, we would explain Hadassani, the following brisa, which says, Yom Kippurim Shechalis Erev Shabbos. Yom Kippur falls out on Erev Shabbos. Why are you taken? They wouldn't blow, meaning they wouldn't sound that blow of the horn to herald in the upcoming Kedusha, because really, that only applies when you're anticipating a rise, an upgrade in Kedusha, but if it's Yom Kippurim, leading into Shabbos, there's no difference in the Kedushas, there's no reason to blow. And likewise, Matzoy Shabbos, if Yom Kippur falls out after Shabbos, Lo Yom Abdil, they wouldn't make Abdullah because it's all the same. Kedusha, there's no reason to differentiate. So that's the Brisa. And we figured, who's the author of this Brisa? Divrei HaKoili, it works according to all Shitas, Kisalikas Lahasam, when we came there to Yisrael, however, Ashkachte l'Rabbi Yehuda, I encountered Rabbi Yehuda, Bereid Rabbi Shimon Pazi, Yosef v'Kamar, he was sitting and explaining. Rabbi Kiva, it's only following Shita Rabbi Kiva. Rashi says it's a Sugi in Shabbos. But we're just mentioning it in passing. The point of mentioning it here is that, at any rate, we see that the Mishnah, as well as the Brais, are relating to a scenario, a possibility where Yom Kippur falls out on Sunday. Evidently, it does happen. In contrast to what you just told me, that never happens. Like Hashi says, the Gemara, it depends whose Shita we're following. Ho Rabbanon ho Achirim. According to Shita's Rabbanon, Bezin would establish the calendars and the months based on the sighting of the moon, and they would manipulate, so to speak, the months based on various needs. So communal needs would affect the establishing of the calendar, as we mentioned. When they saw a need, they would push away the month and move away Yom Kippur from Shabbos. That's Shitas Rabbanon. Ha'achirmi. Whereas the Mishnah and Brisa, which make reference to Yom Kippur, which falls out on Sunday, is following Shitas Achirim, which holds that there was no manipulation whatsoever. The months were established like clockwork. They were consistent months. One a 30-day month, 29-day month, 30-day month, 29-day month. Bezin wouldn't tamper with the months. Ha'achirim hi. In which case, sometimes you can have Yom Kippur falling out on Sunday. The Sanya, as we find, Ha'achirim Oimrim. Ein ben atzeres la'atzeres. How many days off will next year's Shavuos be from this year's Shavuos? How many days moved away in the week? Ve'ein ben Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah. And what's the difference between this year's Rosh Hashanah and next year's Rosh Hashanah? El Arabo Yomim Bilvad, it's only 4 days off. So there would be offset 4 days in the week. So let's say Rosh Hashanah this year is a Sunday. The next Rosh Hashanah is 4 days further down the week. Why? Rashi explains because the lunar year is 354 days. Divided into weeks, you get 50 weeks. Divided into 7, you have 50 weeks. A total of 350 days. So you have 4 left over. So for Rosh Hashanah this year was on a Sunday. The next year Rosh Hashanah will be 4 days later. So the extra 4 days would push it over 4 days down in the week. If it was a leap, a year, where you added another month, which is 29 days, 4 weeks plus a day, so that leftover day would be added to the 40 mentioned earlier, and that would push next year's event 5 days further down the week than this year's event. So everything was clockwork and consistent, and indeed, Yom Kippur can theoretically fall on Sunday, according to the Shita. But our Mishnah is following Shita's Rabban. It wouldn't allow that to happen, and that's why your kasha was addressed. You had a kasha. Why didn't we mention Erev Pesach, which falls out on Shabbos, for an example of many more than 50, than 48 tekiyos? Well, that's not a recurring event. Doesn't happen annually. What about the case that the Mishnah did mention? Chol HaMoed Sukkos and Erev Shabbos. Is that something that falls out every year? Yes, it comes out every year because if the Chacham would see that Sukkos, the Yom Tov Sukkos falls on Erev Shabbos, they would manipulate things because they have to rearrange Yom Kippur, that it shouldn't fall out on Sunday. So indeed, that type of scenario would never happen. And the conclusion is that the example cited in our Mishnah, Chol HaMoed Sukkos falling on Erev Shabbos, was a recurring annual event. Okay, getting back to Rab Acha Bar Chanina, who told us that every Musaf deserves its own unique attention, its own Shira, its own Tekiyos. Maisiv, listen to this Kasha from Rab Reis, Rosh Chodesh, Shecholeis B'Shabbos. What happens if Rosh Chodesh falls out on Shabbos itself? Which Shir would they sing? Which occasion would they celebrate? Shabbos or Rosh Chodesh? Says the Brisa, Shir Shal Rosh Chodesh Doiches Shir Shal Shabbos. The Shir of Rosh Chodesh overrides the Shabbos Shir, and during the Karban, they would sing Rosh Chodesh and not Shabbos. Says the Gemara, I don't understand. V'i Isa, according to Rab Acha, that every Musaf gets its own Tkiya, its own Shira, why does it have to be one over the other? Lema de Shabbos. During the Musaf of Shabbos, let them sing Shabbos. Let them blow Shabbos. For Lema de Rosh Chodesh. And during the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, let them blow Rosh Chodesh and sing Rosh Chodesh. Apparently, it wouldn't do that. It was one or the other. Because it's the day that requires that extra Shir and Tkiyah of Musaf. And that takes care of all the Musaf of that day. Musaf means to add, to supplement, to add to the standard karbonis. So all the musaf are included in that bundle. They're all additions, they're all supplements. As opposed to Rav Acha, who maintained that every single musaf has its own unique identity, deserves its own attention. This price seems to indicate otherwise. It's one or the other, and Rosh Chodesh overrides Shabbos. Amar Rav Safra, my doicha, you know what the price meant with the word doicha? It pushes it away to advance it, meaning first Rosh Chodesh and then Shabbos. But of course, both were sung and both were blown. V'amai, how could you say that? We know that there's a formula called Tadr, Rishayna Tadr. If you have something which is more common than the other, Tadr Kaidim, something which is more common comes first. So Shabbos is certainly more common than Rosh Chodesh. That should come first. How can we allow Rosh Chodesh to come before Shabbos? Amar Rabbi Yechon, there's a special reason here. Leida, to indicate, to publicize, Shehukba Rosh Chodesh Bizmani. And everybody realizes that today's Rosh Chodesh, they didn't necessarily notice the new moon. So Bezna wanted to publicize that fact. And therefore they said Rosh Chodesh precedes Shabbos. The Shir of Rosh Chodesh comes before Shabbos. In which case it will garner people's attention. That today's Rosh Chodesh. V'haya Keira Abdinun? Was this the indicator that they would do? They did something else to publicize that matter. They didn't need this, they did something else. This nun, as you learned in a Mishnah, in Shkolim, Chelvi Tamid Shal Shachar. Once the Kahana would finish cutting up the carbon Tamid, they would bring it to the Mizbeach, that was the first leg of their journey. Then they would go say Shema, and come back later to bring the Ivarim, or the Chalavim, from the Kevesh onto the Mizbeach itself. That at times they got delayed, and by the time they came back, they've already delivered the Avarim of the Karban Musaf as well. So in order to keep them apart, because the Tamid Shal Shachar has to be offered first, has to come at the Mizbeach first, in order to keep them apart, they had to designate a specific location on the Mizbeach meant for Tamid Shal Shachar, and a spot for the Musaf. So the Tamid Shal Shachar were in a Tanin Mechatzi Kevesh Olamata B'Mizrach. They were on the eastern side of the Kevesh, on the bottom half of the Kevesh. The parts of the Musaf were placed on the other side to keep them separate. Nitan and Mechatzi Kevesh Lamata, on the lower half of the Kevesh, but instead of Mizrach, B'Marav. V'shel Rosh Chodesh, what about the Ivarim of Rosh Chodesh? Oh, they had a unique place. Nitan and Tachas Karkav Mizbech Lamata. Karkav was the walkway around the Mizbech, which was two-thirds up the Mizbech, and these Ivarim were right beneath that. So they were technically on the other upper half of the Mizbech. Why were they placed so high? For this reason, says Rashi, on top, you know why? They would deliver the Ivarim of the Rosh Chodesh to that location, higher than all the other Ivarim, to show their prominence. Everybody sees it's today's Rosh Chodesh. So that was the indicator. That served as a hacker. Why did they need to manipulate the shear on the curb to indicate that it's Rosh Chodesh? We had another pretty obvious hacker to publicize that it's Rosh Chodesh. And says the Gemara Trei Akira Avdina, we would do two indicators just to make sure you noticed one. The Chazi Hai Chazi. Whoever noticed this one, noticed that one. The Chazi Bahai Chazi. Whoever noticed the other one, noticed the other one. So we did two indicators. One was the placement of the Ivarim above all the other ones. And Shir Rosh Chodesh preceded Shabbos to indicate that today is Rosh Chodesh. Okay, let's summarize today's daf. So we discussed the Tkiyas, which will take place in the Beis HaMikdash during various opportunities and occasions, during Karbanos, etc. The Tkiyas involved a set. It was a tkiyah through a tkiyah, according to Rabbanan, three separate mitzvahs, according to Rabbi Yehuda, considered one mitzvah. Bechol Yayim, there were 21. Three tkiyahs for Psichas She'arim of the Azara. And as Rashi explained for us, it was to summon the Kohen Levim Israel to their posts, to their avoida, to their duchan. During Tamid Shal Shachar and Tamid Shal Abayim, there was a shira conducted during the Nisach HaYayin. And during that shira, they would make three intermissions, three have seikim. Each hefsek got three tkiyas, so each tamid had nine. So tamid shal shachar nine, tamid arbaim nine. So nine plus nine plus psichas she'arim had three is 21. Erev Shabbos they added six, three lahavtil to have the workers cease from their avoda, and three lahavdil to show to indicate that Shabbos is about to commence. A Musaf got another nine tkiyas during the Shira, according to Rach Bar Chanina, had a chiddush. Every single Musaf gets its own nine tkiyas. On Sukkos, we added another 12 on account of Mili Hamayim. So we had the Shar Helion, three over there. Then according to Rabbanon, three by the Mala Asiris, according to Rabbi Elazar and Yaakov. Instead of that, it was three by the Mizbeach. Then all agreed there was another three by the Shara Tachta on the way out of the Ezes Noshim. Another three when they came back to the Shar HaMayim. On Erev Pesach, we added either another 27 or another 21. During the Shechitas HaPesach, we had those three groups. So each group would generally go through Halal three times. Each Halal got three tkiyas. So the first group, nine tkiyas. Second group, nine tkiyas. Third group, according to Rabbanah, nine tkiyas. According to Rabbi Yehuda, they barely made it through Halal once, not even. So it was only three tkiyas at the beginning of that Halal. So it's 9, 9 plus 3. So it's either 27 or 21. And that gets us the total amount of tkiyas, which took place in the Beis HaMikdash. So it's a minimum of 21, that's standard. The Mishnah mentions a maximum of 28, but the Gemara does come up with a day where they had more. An Erev Pesach, which falls out on Shabbos. The reason why we don't mention it is because it wasn't something which happened annually. and therefore the Mishnah didn't bother going into it, but technically you really have more than 48 on that day. It's either 51 or 57, depending on who you follow, Rabbi Yehuda the Rabbanan. And we attempted to have a kasha on Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina, who said that each Musaf gets its own Shira and Tkiyah. We had a Raya from our Braisa, where Rosh Chodesh overrides Shabbos. The Maskan at this point in the Gemara was that both Tkiyahs were done, both Shira were done, but the Rosh Chodesh advanced Shabbos in order to provide a Heker that today's Rosh Chodesh, just as they did when it came to delivering the Avram to the Mizbeah. They placed it higher than the other Karbanah to indicate Shehuk Bar Rosh Chodesh Bizmani. All the best to you and much Hatzlacha.